y'all. Lay down, Frank. Lay down. Relax. Welcome to the palace. Welcome back. If you've been rocking with us, welcome. If this is your first time, turn it down. I don't own any rights to any music ever played on here. Y'all already know that. Okay. So, today is Super Bowl Sunday. It's 10:45. I've been up since like 7. I can't sleep late anymore. It's just like, but I did force myself to stay in the bed. I worked like 7 hours yesterday. And I'm gonna try to get a couple hours today, because I think since like Monday, all my hours are overtime. So like today will also be more overtime. And when I get to that point, I try to just work, you know, just because it's all overtime. Like, that's when you really, really, you know, bring it in the dough. So I don't know. Then I'd be like, no, you need to just relax. Like, I work, you know, 6 days a week, 12 hours. Like, I log on. And for those of y'all who don't know, I'm a senior loan processor. So, I work in mortgage. And I do refinances for VA loans, which is military, FHAs, and conventionals. I make pretty good money doing it, and on my job I have unlimited overtime, so I take full advantage of that. So I try to work at least 10 to 12 hours a week, a day, and then I get bonuses also. So yeah, I be hustling. But then I feel guilty when I'm not on the clock. Like, it's so crazy. I feel guilty. I guess because I work from home and my office is like right around the corner. So it's like, girl, I log in and make some money. But then I'm like, you also gotta stop and smell the roses. And that's how I've been feeling lately. Like, I've really been feeling like life is going so fast. And I'm not really enjoying, you know, the things that I should be enjoying. So I've been forcing myself to only work 10 to 12 hours, because it's so easy for me. Because, I mean, I work from home. Bree is in school from home. And, you know, I don't know. It's just a matter of getting out of bed, getting myself together, and logging on. It's just so easy. Now, if I was in a building, I know I wouldn't be working like this. Because I wouldn't want to be in nobody's office that long. But I guess because I'm home, it's different. But I do have to just, like, now when I get off, I try to get off between 5 and 6, 7 at the latest. Because literally, y'all, my job is not like, it's not like one of those jobs. Because I've had jobs in the office where you constantly looking at the clock. You're so ready to clock out. Time is going so slow. I've had jobs like that before. And I don't like that. Like, I like to be busy. I like not knowing what to expect out of my day. Some people like going in, cookie cutter. It's like, this what you do. You know, you do the same thing every day. That's their job. That's the routine. Some people like that. A lot of people don't like change. A lot of people don't like the unknown. And, you know, like, fires to start or whatever like that. They just like for it to be what it is every day. Clock in, do my job, clock out. I'm not really into that. And that's what made me go into social work before this, because it's unconventional. You don't know from one day to the next. You can plan your day out to the T. And by the time you get into work, or before you even get to work, when you wake up and check your work phone, it can be anything. And that gonna throw your whole plan base off. So you have to be very flexible. And that taught me with this job, you know, because you have to be very flexible, and no day is the same. No 2 days is ever the same. You can plan it out all you want, but I'm okay with that because I get bored easily. And so I'm washing dishes, y'all, so my bad. But yeah, I'm okay with that. I never get bored, and that's why I can work so many hours. Like, literally, honestly, if I clock in at 6 in the morning, I can work until about 7. And then after about 12 hours, I can tell I'm over it. My brain stop working. I know 12 hours with this job is my cutoff. I learned that. I paid attention and I learned that. My work starts getting sloppy. I start cutting corners. And that ain't my work ethic. So when I start getting into that funk, I know it's time for me to clock out. But up until then, I'm working full speed. Like, if I didn't have Bree to take care of, like if she was off of college or something like that, I would probably, oh my God, I would probably work 12 to 14 because I'll push through those other 2 hours. Or I would probably clock on or clock in earlier at like 4 or 5. Because I do clock in sometimes at 4 or something, 5 or something. If I can't sleep, I'll clock in. That's another good thing about working from home. And with your job being very flexible with your schedule and not really caring. They don't care about the hours like that. They, as long as you're producing, they're not gonna bother you. They're not gonna bother you at all. So I love that part. Because I don't like being micromanaged. Because I know I'm a good worker. I know you don't have to bother me. You know what I'm saying? So you might need to micromanage that person, but I don't need you micromanaging me. So it works out. I had another incident at work. I'm just not with the shit, y'all. And I'm just standing up for myself. And not that I, like, before I would take a lot of stuff, you know, before I say anything, especially like to management or whatever. But I don't care. Like, I know if I'm not wrong and somebody coming for me or whatever like that, like, no, I'm not standing for that. And especially with us not being in the same office and with most of my team being on the West Coast, like, we don't know each other for real. So it's like, girl, if you knew me in real life, you wouldn't even try me like this. Not even half of how you trying to try me. And it's this girl, she's a loan officer. She lied on me before. I can't quite remember the details, but it was something. She said something about I don't ever call my borrowers, and basically like I put it on her to like get documents and stuff from them or whatever like that. Now, I don't hardly ever call my borrowers because in the beginning I set the tone to where I'm only calling you if it's pressing. In this day and time, nobody don't be sitting on the phone. I can email you everything I need you to know, everything I need from you. Like, and these people work. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't answer the phone half the time anyway. So I also like to have a paper trail because people lie. And that's what I tell my clients. Like, you know, the email is a paper trail for both of us. It's not just for me, it's also for you. And so, I don't know. She tried me then. My supervisor went to her supervisor, basically told her to process. Like, I really only call my borrowers, honestly, if they're not giving me what I need. But I don't see why we need to be sitting on the phone. I got almost 40 loans now. I closed like 30. So I got like 40 loans. And I have to talk to, listen, I don't have time to be sitting on the phone. Some of them like to sit on the phone forever and a day. Some of them old and they like to call. I don't have that kind of time. So I don't want to build that kind of relationship. Because then when you do that, they always call me. So no, that email for me is a buffer. I like to work uninterrupted. I work best that way. And I ain't never had no problem. She made it a problem. I enlist you when they not doing what they supposed to do, so you can get them together. But that's the way it's supposed to be. So she ended up apologizing that first time, like, oh, I didn't know the process. I talked to Daniel, my supervisor, and was like, basically like, sorry, my bad. Whatever. Okay, you know, I'll give you a second chance, fine. That was maybe a month ago. She came back this week, and one of her clients, we have a client together, and whatever, you know, I'm working a file, whatever, getting it ready to close, and I had just talked to her about the file. Y'all probably like, I don't give a fuck about this. I don't know, maybe y'all do, but anyway, I ain't gonna give all the details, but basically, we had just talked about the file. Then she told me she took on another one of my files because I guess that person's loan officer was no longer with the company, or is no longer with the company. So she took on that one. She like went crazy about these two files and trying to get them to close in so fast. And then she over promising and just jumped into that one file that you don't even know nothing about. And she made a mess of it. And usually that's what they do. Like, do what you're supposed to do and let me do what I'm supposed to do. But loan officers will try to run over the process and bully them. I've been telling y'all that since I started. And I started this job in what, August, September? And I'm not the one to be bullied, like, no. So, yeah. She was like borderline stalking and harassing me, messaging, emailing, calling. Girl, what is wrong with you? So I got her together in the email, and then I got my supervisor together because he came at me in the email like she said she been trying to it looks like she been trying to contact you all day. Please get contact with her or whatever. First of all, that made me feel like you done took sides, because I know she came to you like she did last time, and then you send me an email based off of what she telling you. No, that's not how that works. That's not how that works. How you just gonna take her side? Don't come at me like that. You can ask me. And I send him a long email, as I did several times before. Don't come at me like that. You need to go back to your normal practice and ask me, hey, has she been trying to contact you? Because, you know, even if you don't want to tell me she came, which I already know, but even if you don't want to go there, you could just be like, hey, when's the last time you talked to her? Or, you know, have you been in communication with her? It's a way to do everything. I told him I felt like his email was accusatory. And I didn't like it. You can ask me. And I broke it down. Yeah, she emailed me. Yeah, she messaged me. She called me 7:00 my time. I'm not on the clock. So she need to respect the fact that we on different coasts and I'm not going to be available at her every beckon fucking call. Not only that, in my email it says, give me 24 to 48 hours to reply to all phone calls and emails. So just because you keep calling me don't mean I have to answer to you. Now if it's over the 48 hours, you might have would have had a dog in a fight.
But no, less than 12 hours. I broke all that shit down. I know he'd be like, this motherfucker, you're crazy. I ain't crazy. I ain't crazy at all. I just don't know about a lot of things. And he's not finna, and I told him that, you know, because I'm not over there, you know, you painting a, she's painting a picture of me because it's her second time. You know, like, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. He was like, no, I totally understand your where you're coming from. I didn't realize, and you're right, I should have asked you, and I didn't mean to be accusatory, blah, blah, blah. He always say that, but then you turn around and you do it again. So every time you do it, I'm going to get you together. Y'all gonna learn. Y'all gonna learn. And I do it in a very respectful and professional way. But you can do that. You can get a person together real professionally. I sent her 2 emails. When you called me, I was having dinner with my family. I broke it down for her. She didn't reply. She didn't reply to not one of the emails. I bet she'd be like, damn, he said something to her. What you thought? He wasn't going to come back? He always tell on y'all. She did not reply at all. Which was best. Girl, find you some business. Anyway. So that's what's been going on at work. Other than that, I've been cool. I got a mouth full of food. So I'm eating a Jim and Dean breakfast bowl, the turkey sausage one. Turkey sausage, potatoes, cheese, and egg whites, but I don't eat eggs. So I basically pick around the eggs. The rest of it is really good. Got me some orange juice. I put a little bit of water in it because sometimes I don't like when the orange juice is too thick. I don't like that. So I thin it out a little bit with water. I was going to make some cheese grits, some bacon, some biscuits. But I was so hungry, I didn't feel like waiting on the bacon to thaw out. I need something to eat, like, because I'm used to eating early, like 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, because I be up working. So I be ready to eat. What else? Like I said, Super Bowl Sunday. So, I'm going to, we are having Dungeon and Scrap with the fixings. We're going to have some Rotel. I ain't had Rotel in a minute. I bought me 2 bottles of wine yesterday from the store. I bought Brie some bubbly. What is it? Sparkling fruit juice or something like that. That being not, because I usually get it for her for New Year's. And I didn't get her any for New Year's, and I was so mad at myself. So I was like, we're going to have our wine and stuff, so let me get her something. So I put her little stuff in the refrigerator. I be feeling bad that I didn't have a third kid. And I talked to her dad, Tony, I talked to him about it. Like, over the years, I talk about it. Because, like, our son, him and Bree, are 8 years apart. And so he was the only one for a long time. However, my nephew and him are, like, a month apart. And then my cousin, I think, is only... Let me see. I think my cousin was born in like 92 or 93, something like that. But they're, so I think they're like 5 years apart. But they all hung out together. They grew up together. So it wasn't like he was the only kid. And then my best friend, my ex-best friend, you know, her son. So, like, it was always somebody for him to hang out with. Then he had the daycare kids, like. And then when Bree came along, they got glued tight. He was her playmate. And she was his. They would play the game together. And I think that's why she's so mature. You know, because he's so much older. So she was keeping up with him. So when he left the house, it was just her. And it's like, to this day, she want me to be her playmate. She want me to be her mama, her friend, you know, her hairstylist, her nail tech. Like, I'm like, girl. So I'm like, when we go on trips and stuff, if my son don't go, she the only kid. And so it's like, and it sucks because I, even though I have an older brother with 13 months apart, and then my sister, my younger sister, we're 2 years apart. And they was raised by my mom, our mom. And I was raised by my grandma. Even though I still was raised with them, I would go over there on the weekends or for the summers or vice versa. So we still grew up together, but my home was at my grandma's house. Their home was at my mama's house. So when they weren't around, I was the only kid. And I used to be so bored. I hated it. I was so bored. So when people, you know, kids would come over, my cousins, my brother, my sister, or I went to their house, I would be so happy because I could socialize outside of school. Everybody around me had 2 and 3 siblings, and I hated it. Like, it was good because I was spoiled. But it's like, you have all this stuff, because I had everything you could think of. But it don't really mean nothing, because you're the only one enjoying it. Like, you can't show it off. You can't share it. And speaking of sharing, that it made me selfish because I wasn't used to sharing. So, like, when they would come over the summer or on the weekends or whatever, although when they weren't there, I wanted to share those things with them. But then when they got there for real, I used to be so possessive of my stuff. Because that people, and I'm like that to this day, people don't value your stuff if it's not theirs. They don't respect it. And you know, my stuff used to be nice, expensive stuff. And they'll break it just by being stupid or just, you know, not caring. And I used to get so mad that they would tear my stuff up. So it made me, I ain't gonna lie, it made me selfish. And I'm still like that to this day. I like nice things. Matter of fact, I'm gonna give you an example just from today. So the other day, I noticed I love comforter sets. I love switching out my comforter sets, and once I've had it for like a month or something, I'll put it back in the bag and put it in the garage or the storage. And they still be brand new. But I don't really like to repeat them. I'd rather just buy a brand new one. It's just something about getting new sheets and bedding or whatever. Take you a nice bath and lay under your clean, new, fresh sheets. So, I ordered another one, a new one. Really pretty. Made up the bed, put all my pillows on the bed. About 2-3 days later, I noticed pin marks on the comforter. So I'm like, Kim, did you have a pin in the bed and, you know, got it on that thing? Oh, yeah, I must have did that. Two or three separate places. I'm like, what the fuck? Brand new. So, I'm gonna get it out. Ain't got it out yet. And people, you know, if I say something, it's like I'm vain. But no, like, what the fuck? So, I came in the living room today, and I was, I got something. I don't know what I got out the chair or whatever. It's a pen on the couch. Now, I bought my sofa set when I moved into this apartment, so it's not even April will be a year of me being in this apartment. I didn't get this furniture until probably May. Because it was the height of COVID at March, you know. And so they were only delivering certain times and it was all funky and weird. So the wait was longer than usual, whatever. So I finally got it. Boom. I think I was here for like 2 weeks. A week or two. I don't know. But anyway, it's not a year old. So it's a pen on the armrest. So easy to write on the couch. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't think. And it's because it's not yours. It's not your place. It's not your stuff. Your money don't buy this stuff. And so you don't respect it. Another example. My car. Y'all know I just got my car in September. My baby. Now, it is kind of funky because it's a Challenger, right? So, it's basically a two-seater. I mean, it really is. But Bri could fit in the back. So, when we go places, she get in on the passenger side. And you have to let the seat up, you know, to let her in because it's a two-door. So, when she get in there, the way that Kim let the seat back, it's like, vroom, on like the metal tracking thing. You know how you slide it up and slide it back? But she do it so aggressively. And it's been for months. And I'll just be like, dang, you know. And I'll be thinking, like, if you catch her foot or her toe on that thing, if she ain't paying attention, it's gone. You're going to rip it off. Because she goes so hard and fast. It's like, it's. I'm telling you, if something got caught up in it, it's done. So I'm like, yesterday when she did it, because we took Bri to get her nails done for the first time, and she did it, I was like, yo, you gonna break my fucking seat. And see, this is how I have to talk to her. Because if I just say it regular, it come across as like, eh. But if I cuss and no smile, like dead ass, then she get it. Then she ain't gonna do it no more. Like a kid. So, you know, I was like, you gonna break my fucking seat. You don't have to fucking push it back that hard. Like, you don't have to do that. Well, I just be trying to make sure that, no, it don't take, this is a brand new car. Like, this ain't no 60s, 70s car. Like, it fully works, it's fully functioning. You don't have to do that. Why do you feel the need to do it? Well, you know, I got heavy hands. I don't give a fuck. Don't tear my shit up. I'm not trying to pay to get my fucking seat. You gonna strip it the way you like ramming it back like that. It don't take that. That shit irked the fuck out of me for the last time. My bad. Yeah. You can't pay for this shit to get fixed. I be hot. I'm very possessive over my personal items. I say this all the time. If it's established that it's community property, my brain accepts that and I don't get bothered. But if it's mine, non-community property, I'm very possessive. It could be a hair tie. It could be a cup. It could be a straw. If it's mine, it's mine. I know it come back from my childhood because I basically was the only child. But I can't help it. That's just what it is. I'll buy community shit for the house, but I buy my own special shit for me. If it's mine, don't fucking touch it. But I bet I ain't got to worry about her ramming that seat back no more. But But it's like, I noticed that, like, people don't care when it's not theirs. But you do their shit like that, you won't hear the end of it. I don't understand that. I just be like, once we're gone to college, I don't want no,
I'll just say this. I will be perfectly okay with,
I ain't gonna say being by myself, but having my own shit, my own space, my own everything.
I will be perfectly okay with it. Because I just, and I guess,
I don't know. I guess the older I get, I don't have patience like that. I don't have patience. I get tired of talking. And I like, I know how I am. I like shit a certain way. I like to do my own thing. I don't like nobody telling me what to do, how to do it. Tell me the basics or whatever like that. But outside of that, leave me the fuck alone. Look how she got all this change in this cup holder. It be shit like this. Like, why? It doesn't belong. And then it'd be like, well, if you got so-and-so in there, it's my shit. The fuck you mean? It's mine. I could do that. It ain't yours, so you can't. That's what I'm saying. I'm mean. And I don't think I'm mean. I know what I want. I know what I like. And shit just bothers me. That's just what it is. I don't know. That's just me. And I feel like because it's not your shit, it's more of a reason for you to not do certain things. That's why when I move out of this apartment, I want to get a house. And I was talking to Tony about it, and he was like, well, why do you want to buy a house? You know, Braylon is gone. And Bree finna be gone. And I'm like, a part of me didn't want a house, a regular house, for a long time. Because I felt like it was late in the game for us to be looking for a house. You know, Braylon was already in high school. So I was like, what we gonna do with this big old house when they gone? So I kind of was like over that. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I can get like I really would love to have a condo on the beach. And I think I talked about this before. I love the water. Like, right now, I would be sitting on my patio or balcony. I always get it confused with, what you know, what I got going on right now. And just listening to the water, watching the waves, watching people walk on the beach. I can do that for hours. I love that. I would even set it up to where I could put not my office, but I will have my docking station, my monitors. You know, I have my whole little setup. Like a portable type situation. Set it up out there and just work. Like, I really kind of want that. But then it's like, I have to be on the top floor, like the very top, because I don't want nobody over me no more. The higher you go up in those condos, the higher the price. On the water, it's going to be hella expensive. And I'm not trying to pay $1 million to stay on the beach. So, and then it's like, okay, well, my second choice would be downtown. But we got the river downtown, which is cool, but it's not the beach. And I just don't know if, I don't know. I like the idea of the condo. You know, still being like, it's a house. It's just on a smaller scale. You own it. You earning equity and, you know. But I don't know. I'm a little torn because I do still want a yard. I do want, like, my own personal private in-ground pool. I do want my own personal grilling space. You know what I mean? Because when you in an apartment or a condo, it's so many rules and restrictions. And I don't know. I don't know. But I was still like, it doesn't matter. Because, I mean, they'll always have somewhere to come back to. And then when I have grandkids, they'll have their own room because they'll take over their parents' room. I don't know. I don't know. But I know this apartment. I think, honestly, too, if the rent was cheaper, I just paid my rent, y'all. And although it includes garage and storage space and all that, it was like $2,400. And that's a lot. And I guess being away from mortgage so long, I didn't realize how much money you waste on an apartment. And, you know, I know that because I've been in mortgage. I'm an adult. I know, you know, smart money moves and, you know, but it's like, with him being military and us moving around so much, buying a house wasn't an option at the time. And then, you know, I just didn't do the math, didn't think about it. And so, you know, we've been in nice luxury apartments for a while, so you have all the nice amenities, you're in a safe area, it's beautiful on the inside or outside, so you happy with it, you know, you don't mind. But now that I'm back in mortgage and I'm seeing these people with $500,000 houses paying less than what I'm paying a month, I think if I got the house that I want in the place that I want to move, it's like $300,000+, which to me is not a lot for a house of your dreams, basically. And I'm like, well, if a $500,000 house running you about $22,000-$23,000, and I think I did the numbers, and I think for the $300,000, I think it's $330,000, it's like $1,400 a month. And that's including your HOA, that's including your homeowner's insurance, your taxes, all of that. So I'd be saving $1,000 a month. And it's mine. So I'm going to talk to him. We already talked. He's already said he's going to let me use his, well, it ain't his, it's our VA, you know, housing entitlement. And so, you know, I renewed my lease. I renewed it early because I knew I wasn't going nowhere. They sent me the thing, and I think they give you like 3 months to renew. And because I got it in like December, I think. So I went ahead and renewed. And I think by Christmas, I really want to be in my own house. So I'm going to have a conversation with him and tell him I think it's about that time. Y'all know I love my apartment. I talked about it from the time I moved in until now. Like, I love it. It's big. It is really big. It's a 3-bedroom, 2 bath. It's open. It's big. I didn't think it would be this large until I got in it, and I was like, wow. So I really, the only complaints I have is just that I'm on the third floor, so I got neighbors over me again who can be obnoxious. Because before it was parking, because it was so many people out here, and the parking wasn't, you know, you gotta look for parking, especially if you come in after like 5 or 6. But then I got the garage, so parking ain't an issue. That's it. You know, I just don't like having, I don't like having nobody over me, and I don't like having nobody under me, because you have to be so mindful. You know, if I drop something, it's like, oh God. And I don't like that. So that's what it is. The neighbors, you know, your music, you got to be mindful of that, and even the TV. It's just like, girl. So, and so many things are happening. I guess when you know what you want finally, and you head in that direction, and even if you go back on what you know you shouldn't go back on and what you agreed to, it's like the Lord, I feel like that's where the mercy and grace come in, because it's like He knows what's best for me. And, you know, He know we're going to have weak moments, or we're going to have dumb moments, or, you know, whatever. And, but He doesn't forget about what you prayed and asked for, what your heart desires are. So it's like He let you do your thing, but He'll step in. And it'd be so smooth how He do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like where ain't nobody hurt, and it just happened by chance. And like after the fact, I'll sit back and be like, dang. Wow, like, because there's so many things that I kept saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be responsible for nobody. I don't want to have to worry about nobody. I don't want nobody depending on me. You know, it was a list. And, you know, when I moved back here, that, like, I was like, no. And it's like situations and circumstances are happening to where I was getting weak and kind of going back on what I said I didn't want to do or wasn't going to do, and something will happen and it'll force the situation to go in a way that I said I wanted it to go without me even having to have a conversation or be mean, or, you know what I'm saying? It happens. So the other person don't feel no kind of way because the situation affected them too. So for example, say if you was depending on me to, I don't know, let me think of something. Coming to my house, like, to get a break or, you know, to chill out or whatever, and that turns into you want this full time, and at some point, And, you know, because it'll be easier for you. You know, you're getting older, this, that, and the third. And so, I don't want that. Because I like having my own space. I don't want nobody dependent on me. Because when you come for the weekend, I have to cook. I have to do this, that, and the third. But if you wasn't here, I'd be working more hours. Because you don't want to be rude to your house guests. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be in the office the whole time. So I work a few hours. So I'm back and forth, back and forth. And then, like I said, cooking and stuff. I don't have to do that, even for Bree. I cook every now and then. But for the most part, I have in there what she can cook for herself. So she don't have to depend on me. So it's like, I don't want those responsibilities. I'm getting her to where it's less on me for her, for Bree. So those were some things that, you know, were on my list. But I start feeling guilty. I know you over there by yourself, and you know, you got other stuff going on that I'm aware about. So I start feeling guilty. And then, you know what I'm saying, you back over here like that. But then a situation happened that caused a rift. And for me, it was an eye-opener. It was one of them, aha, this might have happened, for me to see things through this lens. Because had I not, you'd have still been coming over here like that. And I probably would have at some point, if not in this apartment, in my house, would have made room for you. So, that's what I'm saying. The situation happened to open my eyes and to put that distance back in between without it being weird and awkward. And I got sick, so nobody could come over here because I was sick. So that put more space, and I was sick for like 2 weeks. So that made you stop being used to being over here. But I don't feel guilty about it. Because after I got well, I let you come. You was here for some days. And then you went back. And we really haven't talked. But I don't feel guilty. I don't feel like I owe you anything. You know, because I start feeling like that. Like, people make you feel like you owe them something because of this or that. But I don't owe you anything. You know, but it's just crazy how he allows situations to happen for you to see things for what they are. Because he's not going to let you be played for a fool, you know. And I just be needing peace of mind. I'm starting to see things a lot clearer. It's like my kindness, my kind heart is, I'm still going to be me. But the guilty that come with that is fading away. Because, you know, people take advantage of that. It would take advantage, so I just been doing me. And it feels good not being obligated to nobody. Sometimes people that you go so hard for and look out for and, you know, always had it back and stuff like that, be holding you back from so much, because you're dedicating so much time, money, effort, thoughts, all of that into that person or those people, to where you could be putting that energy, time, money into what you trying to do or what you got going on. So you neglecting you, and you putting them, pushing them, you know, to greatness. And I'm good for that, because I'll get behind somebody and support them 110% if I believe in them, if I love them. But it's like, now, I don't know, I feel different. I move different, and I'm starting to see doors open, opportunities presenting themselves, and I'm able to think. I'm able to think, like, oh my God, I ain't think about it. It's something a couple times this week. I'm like, I knew better than that. You busy thinking for other people all the time. So, I'm just trying to make some smart moves. This year, I never be like, my New Year's resolution, or this my year, or this the year of finance, this the year of success. I've never been one of those people. You know, I've never been. But for the first time, I can say this year, and it's not a New Year's resolution or anything like that, it's just me speaking it into fruition. This year, I want to set myself up. You know, I want to be in a position to where credit is straight, money in the bank, job security. Even though you can't guarantee job security, my next one, several streams of income. So if this pop off, you still got that popping off. You got that, you know. Just being smarter about life decisions. I don't want to work for nobody, period. It is very hard to do, but the money is good, and the money is helping me get to where I'm trying to go. So you got to be smart. But yeah, I'm trying to just live. Like, I really see myself right now. I guess when I turned 43, I was just like, I just want to chill, like, you know, get up when I want to get up, you know, if my, you know, my business, packaging orders one day a week, you know, collecting payments, and then the next day packaging orders, and then the next day shipping orders out. The rest of the week, you out, I mean, you out buying more merchandise, or you on the internet buying merchandise, or you updating the website, you updating inventory, you reordering out of stock items. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it don't have to be that way. If I don't want to reorder today, I can do it tomorrow. But you know, you gonna go hard when you need to go hard. I just want to be at peace and happy with what I'm doing and what I got going on. And I have been, if I must be honest, I have been, thank God that, you know, I've been in a very good place, and God has been really good to me. Yeah, I'm loving life. I let a lot of stressors go.
Take a 2 seconds.
how long it took. You ain't even been back 30 minutes. I seen when you pulled in. Lying. Goodbye.
Sorry about that, y'all.
Could it be you calling me down?
So, I don't think I'm a clock in, y'all. I think I'm gonna just chill. Relax and just get myself ready for tomorrow. That's what I'm doing. So, I started a Poshmark. Y'all know Poshmark? Where you sell items and stuff like that. I started one because I was like, I got all these clothes, and I think I talked to y'all about this. I got all of these clothes that I can't fit no more, and or that I just don't want. A lot of them have tags, and then a lot of my pop stuff that I still have, I am putting those on there as well. Like I said, ain't no point in it sitting. If it ain't moving over here, put it over there. So, I'm finna, I got my little Poshmark. So, the name is PCSOFPRNCSS. So, basically, Pieces of Princess. CSS. No E. Yeah, I only put shoes on there for now and a picture of myself. So if you want to see me and what I look like, you can go to my Poshmark, Pieces of Princess. So I just joined and I already have 83 followers and people already sharing my stuff. So thank y'all. I got 42 new alerts. These people following me. They gonna follow and look. So, ready for all this stuff to start, sell it, package this stuff up, and get it out the door, and I got like 4 garbage bags of clothes downstairs that I asked Kim to bring up here, and I'm gonna, post that stuff. I got brand new maxi dresses. Like nice ones that you would wear to work or to a wedding or like on a cruise or like dressy. And one I really didn't want to give up because I never wore it. It's a black and white stripe with a bow tie and it's a maxi dress, but it give you Lauryn Hill vibes. I bought it for her concert when she came here a couple years ago, but the venue wasn't appropriate for the dress. It needed to be in a more fancier spot, and the venue she ended up performing at was like an outdoors type, so I had to switch up my outfit real quick. But yeah, never wore it, and it's gorgeous. Like I said, give you Lauryn Hill, like pre-Lauryn Hill, X Factor Lauryn Hill, where she had her little swag, but it wasn't like way out there. But if you want to see, I'll have it posted. I'm trying to get the stuff posted as much as I can. But yeah, trying to get it, get most, you know, as much as I can posted sooner than later. because I was giving it away. I was selling it by the garbage bag. Well, not by the garbage bag, but, well, if in person, like $25, you know, for the garbage bag or whatever. And, I mean, probably one dress in there is like $25. But it's like, I'd rather get something than nothing. But now, and I was even shipping clothes, you know, family, friends, was paying the shipping and the $25 for the bag, and I put it all in a box. But I was just like, that was too much. So I'm gonna see how Poshmark does. And I think on Poshmark, like, you can do different stuff. Like, all my stuff would be able to go on there. And I have a lot of stuff, so I don't know. I'm kind of excited about that. Going to eat anything else until 6:30 when the food is ready. I want to be good and hungry so I can enjoy it. Because usually I'll munch all day long. But I got to stop. Like, I got to get myself together because I think I'm like 196, which is crazy to even say out loud. I think I'm 196, but I keep fluctuating between 196 and 198. So we did this little challenge for 30 days. It's no sodas for me because I had got so heavy. I just was craving a fizz like every day. And sodas are so bad for you for so many reasons. But I was craving them. Just, I don't know, craving them. So I know they put weight on you. And so, yeah, no sodas for me for 30 days. And then for Brie, it's no, like, none of her junk food, like hot fries, hot Cheetos, her junky stuff. That's really about all. Like, her brownie Debbie cakes, her oatmeal pies, ice cream, like, none of that kind of stuff for 30 days. And then for Kim, it's no sweets, because she eat a lot of sweets. And so for 30 days, I've been cool. I haven't been craving a soda, actually. But yesterday, I wanted one. What did I eat? Certain foods trigger me wanting a soda. Like if I eat something hot or spicy, or like Mexican-y foodie, like, then I crave a Sprite. But if I'm eating like pizza, hamburgers, hot dogs, I'm craving a Coke. And then like in the mornings, I'll crave like a like a Mellow Yellow, a Sprite, a Mountain Dew, something light in the mornings. So yeah, certain foods. And like if I eat like Asian, then I want a Coke. Certain foods will trigger it. I don't know why, but I never noticed it till now. So I wanted a Sprite yesterday, but I didn't get it. I ended up getting an Arizona mango tea, and I drank that and just kept it moving. So another thing I should have put on the list though was gummy candy. I love gummy chewy candy, and I've been eating that heavy too, and I'm still eating it because it ain't on the list. But I should have put that on the list because I can can put down a bag of Lifesaver gummies. Another thing, my couch, and I'm talking about another thing, but this ain't got nothing to do with what we was just talking about. I don't even know why I said that. But anyway, I guess because I'm going back to the house thing when I get my new house. I feel like apartment living rooms, even though you can have a big living room, like, you know, mine is a very good size, but I still feel like, I think what it is, and this just hit me, actually, I don't think it has anything to do with the living room, because if you think about it, living rooms are gonna be connected most of the time, in newer builds anyway, to the kitchen, dining room, whatever, because I was gonna say, I think when I think of houses, like with my apartment, the living rooms don't, and it's in all that I could think of, except for one, and I'm going to explain the difference. So, even though, like I said, it could be a decent size, the decoration is nice, you know, everything. What I think it is, it's not a family room. Because I feel like in the living rooms, I can't get as comfortable as I would like. So, like, when it's, like, movie night, it's like, yay, but, because I can't, it don't give me that feeling, that big comfy couch, stretch out, got your socks and your tights or your jammies on and your blankets and you passing a popcorn. It doesn't give me that vibe. And that just hit me. And it could be because growing up, well, basically when my mom and dad got their house, I was in, like, 8th grade. So I was still young, and we had a living room that we never sat in. We rarely sat in the living room, but we had this huge den, and that's where everybody gathered, and it was always big comfy couches, tons and tons and tons of space. We could do the Wii with no problem. We can have parties with no problem, cookouts. Like, my mom's den is humongous. And I guess I was used to that. When we watched movies or, like, when the awards came on, that was a big thing back then. And, you know, Friday night at 8, you making sure you ain't going nowhere because you want to watch the BET Awards or the Hip Hop Awards. And me, my brother, and sister, you know, we all would be in there recording with our VCR. Our VCR tape, recording it so we could watch it back. And it, those were good times. And I guess that's what I'd be looking for when, you know, but I guess you're not gonna get that in an apartment. Cause in my mama den, it's off from what they turned, like they made a bedroom back there and they have a little dining room and the kitchen right there, but the way she always had it set up, it was sectioned off, so your back was to the kitchen, the bedroom, and all that. All you saw was the whole oh my gosh, what? Yes. No, I said 4. Okay. Yes. Bring them all, please. So, I guess that's what it is. You know, we were cut off. Disconnected from whatever else was going on. When we sat back there, it was just all family time, all good times, you know, more than enough space. And I be feeling sometimes like in my living room it's cramped, maybe because I was just used to that huge space. Yeah. So that just makes me say when I, and you know, honestly, when I picture the new house, because I know what it looks like, there is a family room, and there is, like, how they had it set up, you can, you know what I'm saying, have your big comfy couch, and put, set it up to where it's facing, not facing, like, any other, like, the door, or whatever, and then you just have to decorate it to that vibe. So I'm gonna have to make sure that space is very homely feeling, where you can go in there and relax and not posh like how my whole apartment pretty much is right now. It's almost like you don't want to sit down because you don't want to mess nothing up. That's the vibe. Like, it's so castle princess diva-ish, all posh, modern, chic, all together. I don't even know, boho, it's all it, whatever I like, and as long as the colors go, I bring it in, and it all just seems to blend and marry. But it do give you that vibe, like, oh shit, if I spill something in here, it give you that vibe. I know. So you really, I guess, I was gonna say, I guess people can't get comfortable. That's so sad. Even I can, so don't feel bad. I mean, my couches, I have the, what do you call it? Recliners. Both the love seat and the couch, they both recline. So it's basically four recliners. And you can get, like, on the sofa one, you could get, like, me and Brie could sit on one side, 3 to 4 people, depending on how close those people are. But you could fit there comfortably, 4 people. And then, of course, the love seat is stadium seating, or whatever they, movie seating. So it's just your one seat. And this is where I sit, in front of the TV, facing the fireplace. And they recline, almost bed-like. You almost can lay flat. That's like a special feature in them or whatever. And I got them really for that and the color, because my furniture, I didn't know how long it was going to take to get here because it was shipped from California. So I didn't know when we would get our beds. And I was like, well, if we got to stretch out, at least, you know, we can be comfortable or whatever. So that was a selling point for me when I, you know, found out that they reclined all the way back. But, and we did end up having to sleep on them for like a week or two, I think. Because, again, COVID, everything was delayed. And they had to drive across the country, so. But they're very comfortable. It's not like it's uncomfortable. I just need more space. I feel like I just need it stretched out more. And to be able to block off everything else so you're not distracted. I guess I just answered my own question.